The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
John, it's a pleasure to be back with you.
I know.
It's been a while.
We've been talking about that. I haven't seen Otto in quite a while, so it's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
And it's also a pleasure because Kate is with us.
Yes,
and I haven't seen Kate in a while, so this is like a family reunion. And
yes.
Now we're adding Marie Lettergar.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me.
And Marie is the coordinator, patient and family with Northwell.
Yes, I am. LIJ Valley Stream.
Oh, in Valley Stream.
Yes.
Okay. And that's Franklin, right?
Franklin Avenue.
Yes.
Yeah, Franklin Avenue. Okay.
Yes.
Franklin Avenue. And the conversation we're going to be having this morning, but I'm going to start with Marie, is patient and family experience. And I have no problem in jumping in here because, you know, I have some experiences to share, but I'm not going to hog everything. How did you get involved in this, Marie? I think it's very important. When people get into any vocation in life, there's a reason. Some people have no reason, and that's why
right.
they're miserable for 30 years until they retire. And honestly, they just say, 20 more years, 9 more years, 7 years and I'm out of here, 2 more years and I'm out of here.
And then they're not happy when they retire.
Of course not. I mean, you know, that's besides the point.
I think you have to love what you do. But I went to LIU Post, so this is my alma mater. Very excited
Yay.
To be back. Yes. But I actually got my job through my internship. So I had to do 225 hours for the healthcare and public administration program.
Okay.
And my current boss actually offered me a position when I left. So
nice.
I was super excited.
That means you did a good job.
Yes, I think so. But I've always loved to help people. So I've always been kind of in like the public eye there and really just like customer service. And that's what I've been doing since I'm 16. I love to help people.
Great.
Yeah.
And Kate, your involvement?
I am a volunteer with the Patient Family Partnership Council
okay.
at LIJ Valley Stream. And the way I got involved, I was in pre-surgical prep for a hip replacement, and I was talking to the team and had already had two knee replacements and talked about the importance of strengthening the muscles prior to a joint replacement. And they said to me, ooh, would you be interested in possibly getting involved and part of it, maybe as a patient side training and so on and so forth? And before I went into surgery, the administrator for the hospital was down welcoming me.
Yes.
And so that's the rest, as they say, is history.
Now, the serious question here is, did you accept that position on your own, or were you drugged up at the point?
No, they hadn't stuck anything
okay.
in me yet.
He happily agreed to it.
Yeah, no, they don't hit you over the head with the mallet until you get up to the OR.
Okay. So let's go back to Marie.
Yes.
Tell me about your day, so to speak.
So,
I mean, you're going around checking on people, or people are you're just fielding questions?
So kind of a little bit of both.
Okay.
So I am a coordinator for patient and family experience, but I also function as a liaison for orthopedic surgery. So that's how I met Kate.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So my typical day looks like I get in around 6 o'clock in the morning and I go to our admitting office. I meet all of our orthopedic surgical patients for the day and I meet their families as well. We trade contact information. I'm just like, you know, I'm here to keep you guys updated. I'll go over to the OR. I'll get an update for them throughout the procedure. I bring families into the recovery room to visit for a couple of minutes after the fact. And then once they're on the unit and they're, you know, trying to recover from their joint procedure, then I visit again, make sure everything's going smoothly. Any questions, any concerns, anything they need, I'm just their go-to person.
Wow. And now you will, that's maybe 2 or 3 days you're in the hospital.
Actually, our average length of stay is 1.2 days for a total joint replacement.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
It's that 0.2 days.
It's that 0.2.
3 o'clock in the morning. Get him out of here.
I'm ready.
We never rush anybody out, but it definitely is, you know, our surgeon's expectations to really get you home.
Right, right.
After. It's good to be in your own environment, but we cater to you from the second you walk in to the second that you leave. We're kind of just holding your hand throughout
wonderful.
The whole process.
I had my hip replaced at St. Francis.
Okay.
Maybe 7, 8 years ago. And I had
something called vascular something or other. It means like you faint, like your blood pressure drops.
Basivageled.
That's it?
Yep.
They kept me there for 4 days or 5 days. Because they had this procedure. They take me to my room. They said, stand up. And there was no rooms at the time, honestly. So I was in that post-operative room.
Right, you were in the PACU.
They said, get out of bed. And actually, my partner, Peter, happened to be with me, my work partner. And I stand up. And I go, the nurse, him, everybody catches me, puts me back in bed. And St. Francis is a cardiac hospital. So they put me in a cardiac unit for like the next 4 or 5 days.
Oh, boy.
They didn't want me getting out of bed. So then I had to go to rehab for 2 weeks. And then it was, honestly, I'm glad I had it done, but it was a couple of months before it actually felt good. It just, you know, because I know you're supposed to get on top of it right away. And
yes. The
negative of that, which they didn't have a person like you, was like, what am I doing here? When's somebody going to tell me? I was going to Parker for rehab, and I was on the board, and I called them. I said, just get me out of here. I got to go. I said, get me out of here. Not that they were bad.
Yeah.
But it's like, when am I going to move forward?
Yeah, you want to know what's going on.
I have spoken with friends that have been in the hospital for whatever, and they tell me some of the stories, and I said, well, where was your patient advocate at the very least?
Right, right.
And that's the one thing with Marie and her colleague Michelle and the entire team. It is an amazing team that, I mean, when I was in the hospital, basically didn't have a lot of visitors, but never felt alone because I was really enjoyed talking with the team, the staff,
right, okay.
From nurses to PTs to OTs to everyone. Top notch.
You know, I have a lot of experience. I like that you used the term somewhere in the material about designating a care partner. Like if you're a patient, then you should have somebody who is your spokesperson, if you will.
Yes.
Who does the communicating as opposed to the entire family talking to different people and mass confusion sets in.
Right.
The flip side of that really bothers me, and I've had a lot of people who've had problems, is you go through your life, you have a family doctor or an internist mm-hmm. for 20 or 30 years, and now all of a sudden you're in the hospital and you don't have that person anymore. So you're in the hospital and you no longer know who the doctors are. Reality, okay? And the biggest problem that comes up that I've witnessed many times is who's in charge? When I'm the other side of the coin, mm-hmm. I am the delegated partner for the patient. How do you figure out who's in charge as far as the medical area goes? You know, you have a lot of doctors coming in and going out and all kinds of people walking in and out. And you try to pick away and get information. What's
right.
your recommendation for what you should do, and how would it work so that you have clean communication?
Right. So I know that especially, you know, at our facility, that your care team is very much dedicated to you. You meet those people, you get their card, you have basically a running list of who your personnel is pretty much for your whole stay. So you'll know who your doctor is, you'll know who your nurse is, who your nursing assistant is, who the patient coordinator is for that exact unit, which is very, very nice.
And they do change. There's a board in
every room
that has the names of all the people that will be with you for that particular shift.
Yes.
When a new shift starts, if it's a new nurse, they'll come in and introduce themselves. And also, I think the medical field is moving towards, and this is what I got involved with, the patient-family partnerships where
right.
families are not just visitors, but they're encouraged
actually, yeah.
to become part of...
They're part of the team.
The
See,
team.
Part of my problem, though, is that you say there's a list of names, okay? Well, okay, I have to pick which name to talk to, like... What I'm saying is, who's like the orchestra leader? Yeah, you know, that's where
I
always
really...
run into trouble in terms of, you know, okay, who am I supposed to talk to?
I think it really is dependent upon who, like, what your question is. What is it that you need to know? If it's, you know, a direct medical question about your care, I would definitely ask to speak to your primary care provider in that setting. So whoever your doctor happens to be, you ask to speak to them. Anybody on the care team can get that person for you. And you can direct the questions to them.
But not one individual would be in charge.
Well, because there are so many different aspects.
Right.
I mean, you have people that are handling physical therapy and OT, especially with joint replacements. You have your surgeon and his PAs.
Correct.
Often they're surgical PAs. And you think, okay, the surgeons, they may be a little bit sometimes harder to find, but they're surgical PAs. They're there with the surgeon in the OR, and they can answer the questions. So I remember my surgical PA, I could see them ask questions. And again, my experience with LIJ was if I had a question, if that person didn't have the answer, they knew how to direct it and get the right person, and they were there.
Especially, you know, on that unit in particular, which is where Kate and I are more familiar with, the team is there. The only person who may not be on that unit 24 hours a day would be your surgeon, because, you know, they could be in the OR, they could have office hours, but there is one person who will definitely be able to answer your question, whether it happens to be the PA or...
But so the care partner, if you will, really should be educated in terms of what this route is that they should take. You know, if you have questions related to whatever.
So
I don't think everybody is up to speed with that type of thing.
Well, that's what Marie and her particular...
You mentioned the patient advocate.
They do, yes. Right. Yes, that's what they do.
And then we also have, prior to somebody coming in for a joint replacement, we have a pre-op class. And that pre-op class actually includes all of the healthcare professionals who are going to be on your care team. So that is interdisciplinary team. And they're there to describe what their roles are to you in particular throughout your entire stay. And if you have questions prior to you even coming in, we're there to answer them for you after the fact. I'm actually on that panel as well.
But what I'm hearing, I think, is that the patient advocate could be a strong resource for people who maybe can't communicate as well with the different specialties or the different doctors.
Yeah. You know, I go around, I do my rounds every day after surgery. So I check in on everybody. And if they happen to have a question, they're like, hey, you know what? I didn't get a chance to ask, or I didn't know who to go to. I can go to whoever that is on the care team and get the answer.
Recently, I was in the hospital. And I have two different doctors following me. Okay? And one doctor said I should be admitted. But the main doctor, who I started this under, said I shouldn't be. It was obvious I couldn't leave, but they didn't want to accept me. The other doctor said, how can you send him out of here? And it was only because the nurse turned around and said, this is stupid. She went to get the advocate. The advocate came in and said, he can't go anywhere. I was in there for 4 days. She says, he can't go anyplace. How are you sending this guy out? But if the nurse wasn't nice enough to get me somebody, we would have gone home. And I couldn't go home, but I would have gone home because the number one doctor, obviously for whatever reason, cost their rooms or whatever, didn't want me. But the secondary did. I said, well, how can he go? But he didn't have the power. And that's why something like this is so appreciated in reference to, you know, because you don't know. The patient doesn't know. And at that point in time, you know, my wife doesn't know what she's doing. When I say my partner and my wife and my business partner, they're always with me. So, you know, both my wives didn't know what to do. And so it becomes, you know, they would have all taken me home.
There is so much to talk about. And if your listeners walk away with one thing after today's discussion, is that ask for the patient advocate, or now many of the hospitals do have this patient family partnership committee.
Okay.
And know that they have that, and they have to, because you get
one
of the pieces of paper is your patient's bill of rights, one of the things you get in your paperwork. So please know that they are there. They're very obvious and in the forefront at LIJ Valley Stream. But if you're in another hospital, ask. If you're the caretaker.
It is through most hospitals or no? Just like Northwell has it throughout?
Northwell has patient and family partnership councils actually at every facility.
Oh, okay.
Which is really nice. I actually do go to the System One, so it's every couple of months, every hospital in Northwell goes and we meet and we discuss everything, and that's more on like a higher level.
Right, okay.
But everybody has them in their hospitals, and, you know, we have our patient family partners, such as Kate, and we have different things that go on, you know, within. So she helped on a subcommittee, actually, revamp our pre-op class, which was really nice, just to make it a little bit more, you know, tailored to what patients actually really want to know about, because she has been through this before.
That's it. And most people are going to be through it once or maybe twice.
She's a bionic woman.
Well, four. That's different stuff.
But this pre-op, that means that you knew you were going in Sometimes things happen and you end up in the hospital.
One, two, three. I agree.
And then you don't
actually
know. You
let's
don't
hold
have
on
that
to that thought. We have to take a break. Yeah. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.